Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Okay, we're back, Liberty at Night, with Nate and Charlie, and now we're finally about to talk about RFK. But first off, I want to talk about this thing that's happened with Reason. I've been following Reason magazine for a long time. We use a lot of their pieces when we're talking about things going on in the news. They've always been pretty good to me. It turns out, I didn't know that they were shills for Big Pharma or whatever, but if you read the comments on one of their most recent posts pertaining to RFK Jr., that's what you would see. Of course, if you hear me talking back and forth with people during this, I just want to remind you that that's the Fed Haters Club that joined via joingml.com. GML stands for Good Morning Liberty, which is Charlie and I's podcast that we do every single day of the week when we want to. There's 1,021 episodes of Good Morning Liberty waiting for you on your favorite podcast app. I want to get back to some libertarian infighting happening right now. Reason posted a video, and it's about RFK Jr. I wanted to go through some of it. We're not going to watch the entire thing, but we'll watch the last part of it at least. RFK Jr. is not worthy. This is from Reason. RFK Jr. is not worthy of the rehabilitation tour he's getting from various pundits, podcasters, and tech luminaries. He pushes tabloid quality reporting, and he wildly extrapolates from little grains of truth. The last part of that I actually agree with. I think he does push tabloid quality reporting, and I think he does wildly extrapolate from small grains of truth. I think that that's true. He also could be right about some things. I'm not even saying he's wrong. But he does have a bias, and he will take small things and extrapolate from those. That is true. Now, is he not worthy of the real rehabilitation tour he's getting? I don't know. If it's what people want to hear. And what do you mean by rehabilitation? The guy just goes out there and says what he thinks. I don't really think he needs to rehabilitate that. Now, when it comes to libertarians and RFK Jr., he's not someone that I can even consider. Number one, he's not a libertarian, and I don't mean that he's not a real libertarian, or he's not a pure enough libertarian, or he's not perfect. He's bad on this one thing. You know, he doesn't want to take away taxes. He wants them to be 12% instead, or a flat tax, or something like that. No, I mean, he's literally not a libertarian, and he's not a conservative either. I'm not sure what he is. He's kind of an old school Democrat, old school liberal, I guess. Unfortunately for RFK Jr., unfortunately for me and my vote, potential vote towards him, I think he's right on a lot of things. I think we agree on a lot of things. I think he's right for the wrong reasons, though. And that always scares me when people are right for the wrong reasons, because that means that they're not going to do principled things to fix the problems that we agree on. And they could actually leave a structure that's going to be just as bad or worse when they are inevitably gone. And when it comes to RFK, you got to ask, well, who's going to be there after him? What is he going to do to make sure that people are not going to abuse this system after him? And that is what I would like to ask him this week, if I can get a hold of them and have them come by our media booth at Freedom Fest. That is what I want to ask him about. I want to talk about vaccines. I want to talk about all that. I want to know what he's going to do to stop this. If he thinks the CIA is dangerous, if he thinks the FDA is dangerous, Big Pharma, all of these things, what's he going to do? Because when Joe Rogan asked him about that, he essentially said that we needed to get the right people that had the right goals into those positions, that we need a clean house and put the right people in office or the right people in these bureaucracies. That's not going to do it, folks. That's not it. Trying to get the right people into these positions of power is not it. We're going to have to get rid of the power. Unfortunately, I think he's right for the wrong reasons, because his dad and his uncle were murdered And I think he's really upset about the system and the structure that allowed or caused that to happen. And I think he wants to fix that system potentially, or at least clean it up, at least clean house. But I don't think he wants to completely take it down. He just wants to put moral superior beings in place, is what it sounds like to me. Let's play some of the video from Reason and see if y'all can understand why people are so upset with them. Let me get to the video. Let's just look through some of the comments. RFK Jr., not worthy of this. I already read that to you. Someone says Reason has really gone downhill. Who even is this lady? Let's see. Jeremy Kaufman says ability to be objectively right, but come across as complete weasels. Didn't y'all just have him on? Wait, why wait a week to put out a hit piece? It's funny when people start talking about, obviously they're being paid by Big Pharma to do this. I don't think that's what's happening. I think it's possible to disagree with RFK Jr. Dave Smith's comments on this, by the way, says it's a really bad move by Reason. You just had the guy on. You should have brought up these claims and given him a chance to respond rather than putting out a hit piece a week later. Why is Reason also always trying to discredit the anti-establishment candidate? I don't know if they're always trying to do that. Maybe you guys who follow Reason can tell me about that. Okay, he's anti-establishment. I get it. I think they're right about a lot of the things in this video, though. I'm sorry. These are my problems, and it bothers me that so many libertarians aren't concerned about these things. You know, there are valid criticisms of our pharma / FDA cabal that we have right now, and the fact that there's no liability for these companies. And there's plenty of valid criticism, and we should look into more whether or not there are vaccine-induced injuries. We need to know that. Why are we not seeing commercials for the vaccine that has 10 seconds of someone swinging at a park and then 2 minutes of all of the ways that this medication could kill you, like we do normal medications? You know, there are problems here. But it doesn't mean that you can always use correlation as causation, which is what RFK Jr. loves to do. And I want to believe all the things that he talks about. I really want to. I think who just posted this? Jeff just posted the picture of him shirtless. I think he's doing a great job. You know, he's showing that he's in good shape. You know, you see him bench pressing. You saw him doing a backflip off of a boat. You know, stuff like that. He's cool. Seems like a cool guy. And I think that he is. I think he truly believes. I think he's sincere in all of these beliefs and all the things that he talks about. I don't agree with the way he looks at this issue, looks at the correlation, and then goes so hard on it that this is the only thing that it could possibly be. Because we fight that all the time. We always fight it. Now the guy happens to be saying things that we like and we agree with and that attack people that have been attacking us. And so now it's cool to use these things? No. It's not. It's still not for me, even if I like the things that he's saying. All right, I'm going to play some of the video. My main thing I want to play is the last 2.5 minutes of the video. But we'll play a little bit of them talking about his ideas on vaccines.
It's podcasters and tech luminaries. He's built a career as a professional contrarian. He pushes tabloid quality reporting, and he wildly extrapolates from little grains of truth. He frequently implies that the establishment is corrupt at best, evil at worst, and he winks at the existence of puppet masters pulling the strings of major institutions. His organization, Children's Health Defense, gives opponents of vaccine mandates and government overreach a bad name by lumping us together with anti-vaxxers.
That's why most of the polio today, 70% of the polio today is vaccine polio that came from the vaccines. By the way, 80% of the polio cases on Earth today, according to the WHO, are vaccine-strained polio. That means people got it from vaccinated people.
In 2022, Children's Health Defense made the same point in a piece headlined Polio, Why Vaccines Are to Blame for Rising Number of Cases. It claimed that cases have been on the rise globally since 2016, and the resurgence is related to the use of vaccines. Actually, global polio cases fell by 99% between 1988 and 2022, and were extremely close to eradication, thanks to vaccines. What Kennedy said is technically true, but misleading. He is referring to polio spread through untreated sewage by a form of the vaccine that uses live virus. Not only has that version of the vaccine been retired, but it can only cause an outbreak in unvaccinated communities, such as some Hasidic neighborhoods of New York City and outlying areas. For the last 18 years, Kennedy has been a leading figure in the anti-vax movement.
My principal objective is that vaccines, the childhood vaccines, are immune from pre-licensing safety testing. Pharmaceutical drugs are now the third biggest killer in America after heart attacks and cancer.
All right, I do want to stop it right there for that one. Pharmaceutical drugs are the third biggest killer in America after heart attacks and cancer, he says. Now, what would you guys, hanging out with me, what would you think that is? Is it people taking their medications? Like I'm taking mine, could be climate change, be medical malpractice, a lot of people die in hospitals, man, a lot of people. Is that the third highest, medical malpractice? That's a lot, it's a shocking amount of people that die from that. Opioids, I believe, is going to be the thing that he is talking about, pharmaceutical drugs. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what he's talking about, but if what bothered me, because I've heard him use this before, people abusing medications, that's not the same thing as the medication killing people. And the problem is, I don't want to defend them. I don't want to defend them. The pharmaceutical companies or them pushing highly addictive drugs and lying about their addictiveness or anything like that. The problem is it tells me that he's got a really big bias when he words it like that to me. I think that there's a lot of personal responsibility that goes into those numbers of people using drugs, and it removes people's personal responsibility and places all in pharmaceutical companies. Which bothers me when it comes to him. Now, all these other things on vaccines, like I don't care about those things. I think we need to question all of these. Hey, I didn't get my COVID vaccine because I didn't really know what was going on with that thing. All right. And that's fine. Maybe some of the information I got came from him. I don't know. I have no clue. I didn't trust it because there's no liability, and there's no liability for all the other vaccines either. That's not good. I don't like that. Okay? That's something that should be fixed. That would have helped a lot of people. We talked about that at the beginning of this whole COVID thing and the whole vaccine push. Is that if you wanted to stop people from being so vaccine hesitant, well, then give the company some liability on this. They're not going to do that. But that's how you could have helped. Okay? Charlie did get his microchip. I think he only got the one microchip. I don't think he got the rest of them. Not sure. Was it just, do you remember if he ever, anyone remember him getting a second? Did he just go get one shot so he could go to Italy for his super important wedding?
Scrutiny, even when examined by people who don't have a dog in the fight. So what would RFK Jr. be like as president?
Part.
Part of his appeal, to libertarians at least, is that he's staunchly anti-war and a huge critic of COVID lockdowns and mandates. But he's fundamentally a big government liberal. He supports Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal. He favors heavy-handed government intrusion in the realm of environmental policy. He's anti-nuclear energy. He wants pharmaceutical companies to burn in hell. And he seems to believe in an almost Alex Jones-esque dramatized concept of the deep state. He also favors massive wealth redistribution.
I don't think these huge disparities in wealth are healthy for our country or healthy for democracy.
He correctly points out that government and big business have an unholy alliance.
The CIA is ultimately working for industry like the oil industry, the coal industry, and the military contractors. I mean, USDA is run by Cargill, Smithfield, Monsanto, Bo Pilgrim, John Tyson.
But he doesn't understand that too much regulation is the root cause. He just thinks large companies are inherently bad. He says he's concerned about government spending and throws out wild figures to make his point.
We spent $16 trillion on the lockdown. We wasted. Got nothing for it. $8 trillion on the Ukraine war. That's $24
trillion. This part I don't think is important, by the way. He messed up.
Pay for nothing.
In my opinion.
He's actually no better than any establishment Republican or Democrat in his unwillingness to scale back elder care entitlements that are actually responsible for driving the federal government into bankruptcy.
I would say it's a red line for me to touch Social Security or Medicare.
What's surreal about libertarians and conservatives now embracing RFK Jr. is that he's publicly fantasized about jailing his political opponents and cracking down on free speech for years. At the People's Climate March in 2014, Kennedy said this.
Well, I think they should be in jail. I think they should be enjoying free hots and a cot at The Hague with all the other war criminals who are there. Do I think the Koch brothers should be prosecuted for reckless endangering? Absolutely.
The First Amendment does not protect fraudulent speech. If you say something that is fraudulent, you're not protected.
It just seems like that way madness lies, because the government will always come up with a pretext for saying your speech is not just wrong, it's criminal, and you need to be shut down.
Well, I don't know, but I do believe that prosecutors and judges make decisions about what's fraud all the time.
He's not a real free speech advocate, and he's not especially thoughtful about the principles or people he endorses. After all, this is a man who once heaped praise on the socialist dictator Hugo Chavez, touting his bogus literacy programs and commitment to democracy. So what would RFK Jr. do in the White House? And is it fair to hold 15-year-old soundbites against him, as some of his fans that I've sparred with have claimed? One thing I'll say for RFK Jr. is that, unlike most politicians, he's been extraordinarily consistent in his views. He thinks the world is divided into heroes and villains.
All right, that's enough of that. So, Nate in the group said, seems like clips taken out of context. That's possible. I think a lot of that also pertains to earlier in the video, some of his clips about vaccines and stuff. Same thing, some stuff taken out of context. What he did do, you know, I listened to his Rogan interview, and he'll make a claim, and then he'll say, well, and you need to, you know, look it up and do the research, and I don't know, I'm not an expert on this. This is beyond my realm of expertise. And of course, those things get cut out of the conversation when people are talking about what RFK Jr. said. So I still think that a lot of the points she just made are correct. When he talks about the CIA or pharma and the FDA or the USDA and Monsanto, he typically is going to blame the companies for corrupting these institutions. And it's going to be more taking away the corporation's power over the FDA and the USDA than it's going to be taking away power from those agencies. And I don't think he's great on free speech. However, out of context, that last part was taken. Is he actually anti-nuclear energy? I haven't looked at that one yet. That one, maybe his opinions have changed on that. I don't know. I want to know what he thinks about nuclear energy. So my problem Magoo said RFK is still liberal and liberals are terrible. Yeah. That's basically what's happening right now. Is he better than all of the other ones? Yeah. Yeah, he is. Although I think his views for welfare programs and wealth inequality and climate and a lot of these things are going to be some of the same that we have right now. Only we'll have someone who's going to maybe take back the COVID lockdown type situations that we have for 4 years, if he makes it that long. Given his family history, if he got elected, I'm sorry. I have no evidence that he would make it through an entire term. You know, sorry to put it that way. And then what? And so my question is, As a libertarian, can I support someone who doesn't get at the underlying problem? This is tough. This is really tough. Is he even as good as a conservative that might chip away at the power structure a little bit? Or is he better than that because we like what he's saying? He's a little bit more extreme than a bunch of the conservatives are going to be on these issues. Should libertarians only vote for straight up, strictly pure libertarians? That way we never feel the sense of winning an election our entire lives. I don't know. I'm not sure. I want to know what he would do to fix the problems. And if he is just going to say that we need a better director of the FBI or a better director of the CIA or people who have the right morals to be running the FDA. He, at one point, which they point out in the video, he talked about we need stricter scrutiny on the medications, that they're actually, it's too easy to get medications onto the market. We've got the exact opposite problem. Actually, we've always talked about that. And then we get the COVID drug, which is on the market immediately, and we don't want to take it. Part of my issue was that they didn't do long enough term tests on it. So there's a balancing act on that. But we've always talked about how hard it was to get medications to market. A lot of his problems are that the FDA has been bought out by these pharmaceutical corporations, and they make it too easy for these pharmaceutical corporations to get drugs out there. And so he wants to take away this massive corporate power structure that we have. I don't know, guys. It's just, I'm mad about COVID and the lockdowns and all that stuff that happened. I'm trying not to let that force me into being one of the libertarian RFK pushers. I don't know. And then that, Jeff said, libertarians should vote for Trump. Would you be kind of getting the same thing? You know, Trump's going to be out for blood this time around. He might just hit the delete button on all the agencies. He might take away more power from these agencies than RFK's going to. RFK's plan is to put angels in power. Maybe Donald Trump is just going to delete stuff altogether when it comes to these agencies. And so will we get a more libertarian solution from Trump this time around? Maybe. And we get better economic policies, too. So if libertarians are not going to support a libertarian, that's a great question, I think. Which is better, Trump or RFK Jr.? It's clearly Trump, in my opinion. But I don't know. I've not voted for the guy twice now. I don't know if I'm going to do it this time around. I'm in Tennessee. It doesn't matter. You know, Republican's going to win, whoever the nominee is. So that's easy for me to say. I'm going to get do my virtue signal vote out there. Okay, there's part one of the RFK discussion. Next, I'm going to give you a little bit of our thoughts on RFK's views on vaccines, autism, and we're going to close out with some free speech conversation as well.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
USA News Update. Wall Street closed Tuesday higher ahead of inflation data, and stocks rose after the major averages snapped a three-day decline on Monday. Investors are anticipating Wednesday's CPI reading for June, with second quarter earnings season set to kick off on Thursday. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 317 points. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says Ukraine will be able to join NATO.
There are still conditions that Ukraine needs to fulfill, but it has made great progress. progress, and alliance members will continue to support Ukraine's progress on remaining reforms.
President Biden has made clear he does not believe Ukraine should join until its war with Russia is over. Biden is meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky and other top NATO officials at a summit in Lithuania this week. Biden, meantime, thanking Turkey's president for supporting Sweden's bid to join NATO. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
All right. Okay, folks, this is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie. Tough to believe it, but this is the last segment. We've talked about a lot of stuff tonight for sure. We got a little bit more on RFK Jr. Listen, he's got a lot of ideas, and he's got a lot of ideas that are not okay to be on YouTube, from what we can tell. So in this segment, we'll be talking about some of his ideas, and then we're going to talk about some free speech issues that have been happening. We'll even talk about something that's going on across the pond over there. Now, listen, we're not scientists. We're not researchers. And honestly, I haven't spent a ton of time going through all of RFK's ideas. Haven't read his book, honestly. Hadn't looked into him whatsoever until about, 4 months ago. I'll just say that. But we're going to talk about some of his ideas, whether or not we can line up with those, how he wants to fix some of these problems, and maybe some holes that we can poke in the story. You might not like it, and if you don't like it, send me an email, nate@goodmorningliberty.us, nate@goodmorningliberty.us, and if it's really, really strong hate mail, send that to charlie@goodmorningliberty.us. That's charlie@goodmorningliberty.us. Just the nicer things to me, and then the really mean, awful, terrible things over to Charlie. Yeah, thank you. There's two ideas that I clearly have not fully researched and we're not going to make determinations on, but it is always good to question things. I'm going to question both the main narrative and RFK Jr. at the same time. Vaccines causing autism, he is very big on this. There's not conclusive evidence either way. They don't know what causes autism. That includes them not knowing that vaccines do or don't cause autism.
I pay a lot of attention to autism because I have an autistic kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he did have all the shots. I mean, I'm not saying
you would like to know if those shots caused his autism,
course,
wouldn't you?
Of course.
Yeah.
But for other people, it's not going to reverse him.
To me, it's all about the future. It's like, okay, well, hopefully we can end causing something like this. Do I believe that vaccines cause autism? Likely not. But the answer is, I don't know. And I think it's worth questioning.
It's absolutely worth questioning.
Why can't we just question it?
But the problem is everyone speaks on authority on these issues, including RFK Jr. and including the people who say that they don't cause autism. And essentially the scientific consensus says we have no idea what the hell causes autism.
No.
Including vaccines or not. We don't know. But the people who believe one thing speak on authority with it. Like, they know.
It could be Pop-Tarts.
You got no clue.
For all we know.
There's a lot of bad stuff in there.
Parker started eating Pop-Tarts. I mean, maybe that's when everything flipped.
Now, here's a concerning chart for you. Surveillance year. In the year 2000, 1 in 150 children were diagnosed with autism. And in the year 2020, 1 in 36 children were diagnosed with autism.
I mean, this is difficult, though, these types of stats.
Don't worry, Charlie.
Okay.
I've got it.
All right.
Don't worry. So RFK Jr. will use this stat. And once again, I'm not saying that vaccines cause or don't cause. But here's what RFK Jr. does wrong, in my opinion. He uses this as a large portion of his proof that vaccines cause autism. 1 in 150 versus 1 in 36 tells you almost nothing.
Correlation does not equal causation.
Now, and he says, they talk about that some in the episode. He mentions that, but he still alludes to, well, it's got to be something. No one my age, like you don't know people my age who are severely autistic. And he's got a point with that. I started to think, like, who are the people that are in their 50s and 60s that are autistic children that you see now, only they're in their 50s and 60s? And I'm like, personally, I don't know anyone.
Well, also, they could be people that are undiagnosed, or they've learned how to mask, or, you know, they've learned how to become social because they were forced to. There was no other.
Or they're homeless people, something like that.
They could be homeless. They could be in a nursing home. They could be in long-term care somehow.
But the fact that I don't know anyone is also no proof.
Right.
So here's an issue with this number. I'm not disproving RFK. I'm saying you have to do this when you talk about these numbers. You have to do it. It goes from 1 in 150 to 1 in 36. What else changed? Well, they added Asperger's syndrome into autism diagnosis, and then they added another one, which is a catch-all, PDD-NOS, which they also added into the autism spectrum, which is an atypical autism. It's not like all the other autism, but we don't know what other category to put it in. And so we call it autism also. And so they added Asperger's, which is Elon Musk, richest person in the world.
He's in his 50s.
Okay.
So there you go.
There's one. And then this PDD and OS, which is a catch-all because they can't figure out what else to call it, into the autism spectrum. 2013, Asperger's and other diagnoses were eliminated and folded into a single diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
For instance, if I had Parker in 1990, he would not be diagnosed with autism because Parker is what they don't consider it anymore because they don't like using those terms, but I'll say it. He's a high functioning autistic kid. Back in 1990, he just would have been considered a kid that has some attention deficit. You know, he needed help focusing. They would probably try to put him on Ritalin or something, but he would be considered a normal kid. Or whatever. But now we know so much about autism that you can pick up the different signs of like him stimming and his food sensitivities and him lining up his trucks and like the way that he pays attention to things that he cares about, how he avoids eye contact and things like that. All of those factors, sound sensitivity and things like that come into play because they understand a lot more about autism now. But I guarantee you 30 years ago, he would just been a normal kid who had a couple social issues that they would, you know, work on. And Parker's probably going to end up being a pretty normal adult, but he's still autistic.
What's another thing about these numbers, Charlie? They're not based on actual autism diagnoses. Those numbers that we just talked about, 1 in 150 or 1 in 36. They're based on clinicians at schools answering on surveys about whether or not they're autistic, and they can use different behavioral disorders to answer whether or not they think someone is autistic. Mm-hmm. Those are questions that you have to ask anytime anyone is talking, including RFK Jr. So for everyone who never just hitch your wagon to someone and just believe everything that they ever say, you have to question everything, and that includes questioning people who question everything. Question us.
Yeah.
What are my underlying motivations for bringing this to you right now? Now, to give credit to RFK, because I got to go, and I want to be fair. He also talks about the tetanus the DTP shot in the oral polio vaccine. He tells the story about how this vaccine was actually clearly raising the mortality rate of children that they were giving it to in Africa for like 30 years before they did a study. And here's a study from NIH PubMed in 2017. This is the actual study that RFK talked about on Joe Rogan's episode. He said that they were out there giving this to people and they just never thought to look whether or not it was actually killing more people than it was helping. The NIH's actual study shows that this DTP vaccine was actually killing more kids than it was helping. Mm. All right. The mortality rate on average was 5 times higher for kids who received the vaccine than kids who did not receive the vaccine. For women, for girls, RFK mentioned on the show, it was 10 times higher for girls.
Interesting.
For people who received the vaccine. Child population been followed with 3 monthly nutritional weighing sessions since 1978. See, now I heard RFK talk about this on the episode, and I didn't just go like, oh, man, that's freaking crazy. I can't believe they did that. I went back to it. I found the study that he mentioned. What did he say? I searched it. I found the study, and I looked at the actual results of the study, and it turns out he was telling the truth on it. Now, he talked about the girls and not the boys, and so he gave the 10 times more for girls on average, higher mortality rate, which means the boys was actually way lower for the average to come out to 5. Okay.
But also, the other thing I'm going to question on this, though, how do we know all the other variables? What are some other ways that these kids or children died, right? Was there a famine that happened during this time? Were more girls getting pregnant and dying from childbirth at this time? Like, there are so many variables to human life.
They say in this, differences in background factors did not explain the effect. The negative effect was particularly strong for children who received DTP only and no OPV, which was the oral polio vaccine. All-cause infant mortality after 3 months of age increased after the introduction of these vaccines. They were looking at whole populations, basically. It was essentially a very large natural trial. So there were people in both groups that were living in the same life situations, but some of them receiving these vaccines and some of them not.
Mm.
And so it's apparently a very big natural experiment, as they say up here at the top. And I believe they're either not using this. Now, he makes the claim that Bill Gates is still using the same vaccine to give to people in Africa and other places. I don't know. I couldn't find that part. Bill Gates is pretty good at flooding the search results with disproving anti-vaxxer theories and positive stories and things like that. So I can't tell you whether or not that's true yet. We got to question everything. And I think if it's so easy to disprove RFK Jr. on these things, then do it. What they should do is let's pick one thing. They should just have the autism conversation. Now, it'd be difficult because they don't know what causes it. So that'd be a pretty difficult one right there. If they want to have the debate over the COVID vaccines, well, then they can have the debate over the COVID vaccines. That's fine. And just pick that, because this is what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to go through the studies that RFK brings up, and then Hotez or someone else is going to have to go through their own studies. And then they're both going to have to poke holes in each other's studies and talk about that. And it's going to take a few hours just for one single topic.
And at the end of it, they should say, we don't really know, but here's my opinion.
Because that's the answer.
Because that's the actual answer. And then you have to make the best decision for yourself and your family based on all the information presented. That's the only way to really navigate life.
Well, that's why it's so important to look at the actual structures. Like, when we don't know, you make sure that the incentive structure is properly aligned, that the regulatory system has not been captured by the people that are going to make money off of the regulations benefiting them, which it clearly has, which is why we want to get rid of the FDA and the CDC and all those things, because they're not doing what they say they're doing. They're actually just, it's almost like, it's like giving the pharmaceutical companies the authority to use force. And that's essentially what the FDA and the CDC are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got to question that. What are the incentive structures? What are the liabilities if you create something that kills people? How are we doing these studies? Are they double blinded? Are they, the studies with the COVID vaccines, we know that there was a bunch of shady stuff going on. They're kicking out people who have adverse reactions. They're claiming at one point that they're 100% effective on things. I mean, clearly there needs to be a lot of questions answered. And when you don't know about things and you can't make sure that there's only benevolent, moral individuals running the agencies or conducting the studies, all you can do is make sure that the proper incentives are in place
mm-hmm.
to where if they do the wrong thing, either someone else in the market's going to come up and do the right thing, and that's going to be what people want, or people are going to find out that they did the wrong thing and they're going to get in trouble for it, either criminally or financially. Those are the only backstops you can make to try and stop this stuff from happening. If you agree with RFK Jr., then you want to do everything that I just said right then. If you disagree with RFK Jr., then you should want to do everything that I just said right then. That's the only way to stop all of this stuff from happening. The distrust comes from people not knowing and from people knowing that people have clearly been bought off in these agencies.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping, traveling with him. I guess we traveled 17,000 miles when I was vice president. I don't know that for a fact.
We talked about
violation
this.
Of rights.
Irish people could be jailed for hate speech. Why are we talking about what's going on in Ireland? Because a lot of these things are the logical conclusions of these ideologies. And so I think it's important to cover things like this. Now,
and they find their way to trickle across the pond.
They do. I mean, people already have these ideas. They want to do it. But we have the First Amendment here. And so it's been pretty tough so far for them to actually make laws criminalizing speech.
Mm-hmm.
Irish citizens who campaign against transgender women being able to use female changing rooms or crisis centers risk jail under an Orwellian hate speech law, critics have claimed. The Irish Senate last week debated the controversial criminal justice incitement to violence or hatred and hate offenses bill 2022. The bill seeks to expand the range of people protected from hate speech to include those with gender identities, including transgender or gender other than those of male or female. Does that mean that trans people can make fun of people for being cisgender? I'll speak their language for a second.
Mm.
Like if you are hateful towards people for, let me tell you.
I think you're missing an important part of this, though. The bill seeks to expand the range of people protected from hate speech, which means they already have it in place. I think we talked about this when we first started, like in 2019, 4 years ago now. Isn't that something? They already have hate speech laws over there. So now they're going to expand this, which I think is really important because, as we said, it only gets worse.
Oh, they only get more power.
Yeah. This is complete proof. They're like, well, we're not going to tell you what to say. Well, we would never do that. Well, now they are.
Yeah, let's listen to this person talk out loud what she is saying right now. I can't believe it's real. Oh, not that one. Let's talk about this one right here. Criminal justice, incitement to violence or hatred and hate offenses. What do you think about it, Charlie? Because this is what she thinks about it. Or I don't mean to gender her. They might have an arrest warrant out for me right now. I'm not
sure. Right. You can't go to Ireland anymore.
When you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
For the common good? How can you argue against the common good? God, reminds me of what Jordan Peterson talks about with the eatable mother.
Mm.
Like these are these, you know, just disgusting women who can't let their children grow up and get their feelings hurt.
That's the thing. Like
it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? And then she goes on to say that, you know, all of our rights, you know, they have to be restricted. You can't have too much freedom.
Of the common good.
Too much freedom would absolutely destroy the common good. And then kids and young adults might get their feelings hurt. And if that happens, well, I mean, what are we going to do?
Oddly enough, this is always the issue with negative and positive rights. She is restricting a right in order to provide a right to other people. She's restricting the right to free speech in order to provide the right freedom from discomfort, freedom from worry, or freedom from feeling bad about your whatever it is, feeling unsafe. We all have to go through life never being scared of anything, never being uncomfortable, never feeling like some people might like us or might not like us or might hate us. If we don't have that, then we just can't go through life. And so she's willing to take away everyone else's rights in order to provide that right to a very small group of people, I'm assuming, haven't seen the recent stats on that, and take rights away from a lot of people in order to make herself look better, feel better. Which one is it? Or to just give the government more power? Because protecting these people, they're also, you know, they don't have the First Amendment, but they're also able to control speech, and controlling speech is also very, very important to a government. They love to have this precedent set that they can control everyone's speech, because if they ever get out of line, the government, they want to stop people from talking about that.
As most of you listen to this podcast know, if you're new, you don't, but my son is autistic. He gets picked up by the bus at our door at the house, and he rides the short bus.
Mm-hmm.
And it has seatbelts on it and stuff, and he has an aide, and he gets to ride the bus and is excited about
it. Seatbelts?
There's seatbelts now. He's excited about it every single morning. He loves riding the bus. And my dad, I was having a conversation with my dad, and he's like, well, aren't you afraid, like, people are going to make fun of him for riding the short bus? And I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, you know, Dad, that's not my job. My job is not to try to stop other people from making fun of my son. Now, do I wish that we could stop bullying and all those things? Do I agree with people being bullies and, like, trying to hurt other people's feelings? Of course I don't. But as a father, my job is to teach my son how to be resilient, how to stand up for himself, how to not be a bully himself, how to stand up for other people, to be the one, to be the sheepdog, so to speak, protecting other sheep against the wolves, mm-hmm. right? And protecting himself and standing up for himself. That's my job, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to, like, legislate heaven on earth. That's serious.
You're legislating morality.
Exactly.
Still.
And I'm not saying I'm obviously being against something like this does not mean that I'm for hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm against hate and violence and poverty. Like, it's some, like, big deal to be against those things. The problem is that we live in a world where these types of things are going to exist. And so what's better? We try to steal rights from other people. Just so that, because they're going to abuse this law, obviously, they already have,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we're going to steal rights from other people to try to make other people feel good about themselves, which isn't even going to work anyway, because you can't make people feel good about themselves. Only they can. And I'm saying they, not in all senses, okay? Only you can feel good about yourself.
And prevent forest fires.
That's right,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Especially if it's like a level 3, you know?
Yeah.
And so we really need to be taking responsibility for ourselves and our family, and teaching people how to be the one to be resilient and stand up for themselves, and realize that this is it's a cruel world, and people are going to hurt your feelings. And the only person that can do something about that is you. And there's no reason we should be creating tyrannical laws. And I get this is in Ireland, but it won't be much longer before it tries to come over here.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have the First Amendment, we'd already have this and worse here. It would already be a thing. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is very important. The most important thing is that people learn, on your son's side, people learn to be resilient, to put up with things like that, to not get their self-worth from what the other people are saying about them anyway, and for bullies to learn that that's not the right thing to do for them. Maybe they'll learn the hard way sometimes. I don't know. We see this a lot. For instance, we have laws like social media laws out in different parts of the country where they're banning TikTok for minors. I can't remember what state. Was it Utah that did that? I don't remember which one it was. Someone can correct me on that. The problem is you don't learn anything from that. You create a scenario where you have a child who hasn't had to put up with any adversity, who hasn't had to learn what to do on social media, what not to do on social media, and how to interact with people and not interact with people on social media. They haven't had to learn from those lessons. And so then when they turn 18, there's other scenarios where things like this happen that we don't, you know, we don't talk about here on this. But when they turn 18 and they leave, they just turn into a crazy TikTok and party animal. You know, they had no idea what to do.
And they're naive.
Mm-hmm.
Completely naive, easily taken advantage of.
Yes.
Like,
and so the same thing here with kids or anyone who you make it illegal to bully people or say anything hatred. And what they're going to mean by hatred is anything negative about it at all, or anything that disagrees with the gender ideology cult at the moment. That's hatred. Okay. And so then you have a group of people who don't have to put up with anything, but they also haven't developed the character of a person who knows how to put up with something and get over it and be the better person. And so you just have a society, a world of children who have never had to put up with any adversity until they finally get out there on their own, whatever it is.
Listen to some of this.
And it's over.
The law will also criminalize possessing material intended to be shared that could incite hatred towards people with, quote, protected characteristics. Why are only certain people having protected characteristics?
I don't know. What kind of material? Also, because I thought we were against, like, book bans and things.
The
like
material
this.
Does not actually have to be disseminated to the public in any way. But don't worry, folks. Reacting to fears that the bill could have a chilling effect on free speech, the government last year told the Irish Times that the bar for criminal prosecution will be, quote, very high.
They promise.
So don't. Yeah. It's going to be really high.
Really high, like Hunter Biden. All right, that's it. We're done. We're out of here for tonight. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Remember, go to joingmail.com if you want to be in the Fed Haters Club and talk to us while we are recording. And also, find Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. Big thank you to the folks over at Free Talk Live for giving us this opportunity. And we'll see you or talk to you next Tuesday.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.